Thank you, Brother Bill. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of James, chapter 3. The book of James, chapter 3. Tonight, I've really been looking forward to preaching the night's message because it's really just a beautiful text. And James has laid some groundwork throughout the book in the earlier chapters about wisdom. And he's talked about wisdom. He said in the chapter 1, how to get wisdom. We're talking about wisdom that comes from God. He told us that if any man lack wisdom, you know, let him ask of God. And we talked much about that, how that in the context of wisdom, it's a that God gives is something that we have to, first of all, realize and acknowledge that we don't have apart from him. And it's a supernatural type of wisdom. So God gives it. And when you think of it in the context of that, you'll see that it's something that in the context of a local church really, truly should be something that we long to have, something that we desire to really have as a church and really have to follow as far as the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. As you're looking at that, I will mention one thing. I spoke with a missionary this afternoon, and looking forward to meeting him. He's actually traveling through in a couple weeks, and was going to be in this area on a Wednesday night, so I invited him to come by. He's just retired from the military, Bill, back from the Army last fall, I think back in the fall, and now he has a ministry to, it's an aviation ministry. He's teamed up with a ministry that flies missionaries around, and they're really focusing right now on to Alaska and parts of Alaska that you really can't get to for months and months and months on end unless you have a plane. So I had a real nice talk with him today, and you'll be praying for this and praying for that missionary as they come through, and we'll be talking more about that Sunday. But seemed like a really good guy, and seemed like a really good, sweet family, and so we're looking forward to meeting them and hopefully easing their load a little bit as they travel through our area. So James chapter 3, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. We are looking now, if I can get my notes in order here. We are looking at what heavenly wisdom looks like, what godly wisdom looks like. James here in chapter 3, James, the book of James is a tremendous book because what James often does, he teaches, in his book, he teaches a lot like Proverbs is written. Proverbs is written and does a lot of comparisons. James does the same thing. And we see here in the book of James chapter 3, we'll start, let's read verse 13 and following. But I want to focus tonight on verses 17 and 18, because we've been preaching through this for several Wednesday nights now. But just to sum it up, he says in verse 13 of James chapter 3, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you?" Contextually, we know that James is talking to the teachers in the local assembly. He's talking for those that teach God's word. And he really brings out and he really stresses the importance of not only being hearers of the word of God, but also being doers of the word of God. And we'll see that here as we see this verse. "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge?" Verse 13. "Among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." Literally, you'll see if a man has this knowledge, this godly knowledge, right? Knowledge of God's word, then it will produce something in his life. It's going to produce a conduct that really goes hand in hand with what God's word teaches about a man and how we should conduct ourselves. He says in verse 14, "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish," literally demonic. You know, oftentimes in churches, if we're not careful, we can succumb to the wisdom of the world and how we handle things and solve things. But James says, listen, you've got to be careful. You know, you have to be really careful, especially in the context of God's word, as far as in the context even of a local assembly, to remember that we walk by faith, not by sight. And a church I said to us last week, a church isn't a business. Now, granted, we have a lot of business principles and practices that we can follow, but ultimately, a church is a faith-based institution. Now, what in the world does that mean? We walk by faith, not by sight. We use good stewardship, absolutely 100%. We practice good stewardship, but ultimately, we follow the leadership of the Spirit of Almighty God. He then goes on, he says in verse 16, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." So again, we're looking at it, we're looking at a comparison now. So he says, when worldly wisdom shows up, this demonic, this earthly, this sensual type of wisdom, when it shows up in the life of a believer, when it shows up in the life of a church, of a local assembly, there's going to be a lot of strife. There's going to be a lot of confusion. There's going to be every evil work. So you can kind of picture that, right? Now we're going to transition to look at something really, really encouraging. He says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege we have of preaching tonight. And we pray, God, your Holy Spirit will teach us, he'll guide us, he'll direct in this service. And Lord, we'll praise you for what you're going to do in our midst. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. And amen. Thank you. May be seated. When you look at these verses of Scripture, what James is now going to do for us, he's already, look this way, guys, front row. You're looking at preacher, okay? Not back there. When what James now does, he's already laid out for us what worldly wisdom looks like. He's spelled it out. He's talked about the attitude of it. He's taught about the arrogance of it. He's taught about the ambition of ungodly or worldly wisdom. Just some thoughts on that. You know, the attitude of the worldly wisdom kind of a church or kind of a Christian is a self-seeking, you know, kind of a self-promoting kind of a thing, kind of a jealousy kind of a spirit. You know, they get jealous of somebody else, or churches get jealous if another church is this or that. So James says, watch out for that, because that doesn't come from God. But now he transitions and he says, now, first of all, we're going to talk about the wisdom that comes from the Lord. The wisdom that comes from God, he says, number one, we're going to see some characteristics of now. We've talked about the conduct of as far as the ungodliness, as far as worldly wisdom. Now let's look at some characteristics of this wisdom that comes from the Lord. He says, first of all, it's pure. Now think with me for a moment. As we look in this text, it carries with it the idea of spiritual integrity. Carries with it the idea that wisdom that comes from God, it indeed is that. There will be spiritual integrity. There will be integrity in a man's life or a woman's life. If they have, you know, this godly wisdom. Now, they may have a lot of knowledge of God's word. They may have a lot of understanding of God's word. And oftentimes, and I've met people, and you've met them, that love to tell you how much knowledge they have of Scripture. And I'm not against that. I love talking the Bible, and I do. I won't argue the Bible. When people want to argue with me, sometimes you'll see that on Facebook, and I'm like, see ya. You know what I mean? I don't get into that. It's just nonsense personally, but I don't argue it, but I love to talk about it. I love to study it. I love to, you know, just, you know, not debate. I'm hesitant to use the word of debate, but as far as in good fun, as far, hey, what do you think about this passage or that passage? But nonetheless, when we dig into this portion of Scripture, James says, here, let me tell you how you're going to spot. Let me tell you how this wisdom that comes from God, it's going to be pure. It's going to be pure. It's going to be, and when you think about it, I mean, think about this for a minute. I think you could really make some application here. It's going to have a pure motive. You know, wisdom that comes from God, I think the motive of that, it's going to have a pure motive as to why we do what we do. You know, sadly, you see oftentimes, you know, men succumb to, you know, to pride, and men succumb to, you know, things they shouldn't. And I was reading today, unfortunately, I was reading about a man. He's a pastor and he's well-known, world-known, truthfully, has preached in our pulpit years ago, and found out, you know, he's really not what he said he was. And unfortunately, his marriage is ending in divorce, and, you know, and there's a lot of things going on. But I look at that, and it saddens me, you know, because in the context of ministry, in the context of what James is teaching here, James says, listen, if it's going to be godly wisdom, godly wisdom is going to show up. It's going to have a purity about it. It's going to have a pureness about it. There'll be integrity. There'll be character. There'll be, what's the definition of integrity? There's a couple thoughts that come to my mind. But integrity carries with the idea of wholeness, oneness. Somebody said integrity. I don't know who said this, but I forget who said it, but I like it. Somebody said, really, integrity is when the tongue in your mouth and the tongue in your shoe are going in the same direction. And I like that. It's when the tongue in your mouth and the tongue in your shoe, integrity, are going in the same direction. And I think oftentimes, you know, in our world in which we live, in an ungodly world in which we live, and in a world where, you know, the world and the, you know, the world's system, the world's wisdom, you know, sometimes creeps in churches and creeps in the lives of God's people, we've got to be careful because, you know, as God's people, we have the Holy Spirit of God that lives in us. And if he lives in us, he's going to lead us. He's going to direct, he's going to guide us. He's going to direct us. And that's why we need God's wisdom. So he says this first characteristic, this first thought, you know, carries with it more. The idea of being pure carries with it more about that's who they are. It's in essence of who the born-again believer is that has Christ. Now again, just briefly, the characteristics that we're going to talk about, we're going to mention these in a few minutes. It's 1:39 right now, so I'm really confused. The power went off. Nevertheless, leave it alone. But anyway, we'll see how long we go. I got my watch. I got my phone, so you'll be okay. We'll be out of here for a while it ends. But anyway, this pureness, this aspect of who they are and what they are, 744 made sure that, 744? Is that right? Man, they got that, the font on that's probably 150 font back there on that screen back there. Leave it to the sound guys. Carries with the idea of this clean, innocent, holy, this evidence of pureness. You know, having the pure of heart, pure motive, you know, having they made it even bigger, you bunch of bumps, but if you could see it back there, but don't turn around. Remember Lot's wife, don't turn around. I'm just telling you, it might happen. You'll turn to a pillar of salt. But what a blessing it would be. What a blessing it would be. And as you're going to see, as we go through these next few minutes, what a blessing it would be to be a member of a church that as a church has that type of spirit about it. Has a type of attitude about it. Has the attitude of, you know, man, I think it was Dr. Rogers who said, Dr. Adrian Rogers said, what would a church be if nobody wanted the credit other than giving Jesus the credit? What a great church. What an amazing church that would be. So this pureness. But second of all, we now look more into some characteristics of it. He said, verse 17, the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Then he uses a word, he says peaceable. What does that mean? You'll know that it's God's wisdom because this idea of being peaceable has the idea of being peace-loving. External features that flow from its pure character. It promotes peace, right relationships between man and God, man and man. You know, it really kind of carries with that. It's peaceable. You know, a church that has God's wisdom on it should be a peaceful place. Amen? Have you ever heard, and you've heard it, if you've watched any kind of news or any kind of stories, you've heard preachers talk about it. Some churches, man, they fuss and they fight and they argue and they bicker and they constantly schisms. And Paul dealt with that in the church at Corinth when he wrote to them. He said, hey, I hear there's divisions among you. There's heresies among you. There are divisions among you. He says schisms in the body. That idea of like a bone out of joint. No church should be like that. Amen? No church should be that type, have that type of spirit. No church should have. If it's one of the Lord's churches, friend, we owe it to the Lord Jesus to keep his spirit, to keep his peace in here, to keep the purity in here, to keep his wisdom here. That we're begging, we're praying, we're seeking God and for his wisdom. So he says this kind of aspect of this purity, this kind of aspect of this peaceableness. James here is really wanting us to understand that this person and this type of church does not, it doesn't promote selfishness. It doesn't promote an arrogance about it. It's going to promote an atmosphere. Now when you think of peaceableness, I think really what I think about when I think of peaceableness as far as in the context of a church member or a church as a church as an institution, in order to have that, you have to have humility, I believe. Humility and that goes hand in hand. You're not going to have peace. You're not going to have a peaceable kind of a church or type of a person if you don't have a humble spirit about you. You know, and not, you know, one of the things I was thinking about, and it saddened me. Man, it just really saddened me to read this about this preacher, very good preacher, very articulate preacher, handled himself well in the pulpit. And really what saddens me about that is just to watch over the years pride really get the best of him. And I say that not, God as my witness, I am not pointing a finger and I'm not making a judgment statement as far as I can't believe he did that. It's only by the grace of God. I mean, that hasn't happened to me and it hasn't happened to us. It's only by God's grace. But friend, we've got to be ever vigilant about, you know, really staying humble, having a humble spirit before Jesus, having a humble spirit before the Lord, and knowing that if anything good happens here at Emmanuel, it'll be because the Lord Jesus Christ showed up and chose to do that and chose to bless us. He deserves all the praise. He deserves all the credit. He deserves all the glory. So James says here, you want to see, you that teach the word of God, you want to see what God's wisdom, how it kind of shows forth, God's wisdom, how it kind of conducts itself. Have a seat, bud. Have a seat. It's going to have peace. It's peaceable there. Look at that. It's pure, then peaceable. Then he uses another word. He says it's gentle. What does that mean? It means it's considerate. Carries with it the idea of being considerate. Now, if you think of me for a moment, get to my notes there. When you think about this for a second, we all, no Christian, no church, no Christian ever has a right to be unkind. Can I get a witness? We never have the right to be unkind. We've got to stay on guard against that. We've got to stay on. You say, yeah, but Pastor, have you ever been unkind? Sadly, yes, I have. I remember an incident. I forget where we were, and I got a little aggravated, and my wife was seeing that, and we were at some business or something, and got a little agitated. So long story short, man, the Holy Spirit of God just worked me over. He worked me over, man, right there. I don't know if it was a restaurant, I don't know where it was. And I went back, and I said to the lady, I don't know if it was a waitress. I forget what it was, what she was as far as her title, whatever. I said, ma'am, I said, will you please forgive me? I said, I didn't act right. And I said, ma'am, I said, I'm a Christian. And I said, I should have never acted the way I acted like you. And of course, she just kind of smiled. You know, she just, you know, she's like, oh, my goodness. She goes, oh, yeah, no problem. I said, no, ma'am, I said, I sincerely mean that. I said, I'm sorry, you know, for that kind of an attitude. And I shouldn't have been that way. You see, so Pastor, you say, yeah, Pastor, you're always talking about, you know, we never have a right to be unkind. I said, that's exactly right. I didn't have a right to be unkind. You know, yeah, I was agitated. I was, you know, just had some stress, no doubt, going on. Go figure. Can you imagine that, having stress in life? But we never have the right to be unkind. And James says, listen, a church that's going to be a church that has God's wisdom all over it, it's going to have a gentleness about it. A Christian that has the wisdom of God in their life and a wisdom of God on their life. You know, it has this attitude of being considerate, does not insist. Here's kind of another thought of what that means. It means it does not insist, excuse me, flip. It does not insist of on their own rights. Matthew Henry, who was a famous Bible scholar, some have had his commentaries, old commentaries. I love this statement. He says, Matthew Henry calls this, the word gentle, he calls it sweet reasonableness. I like that definition. Gentle, Matthew Henry calls it a sweet reasonableness. It referred to as the most untranslatable word on the list, he says. It's not harsh. It's not critical. One that could submit to, here, get this. Man, it might challenge your heart and challenge my heart. It carries with it the idea of being gentle even when you've been wronged. Maybe there's been mistreatment. Maybe there's been persecution. It describes the kind of person who, though wronged and possessing the right not to bend, nevertheless forgoes his rights. The man or woman with the quality makes allowances. Get this is tremendous. A gentle, having a gentle. James says, you want to see what God's wisdom looks like on an individual, and an individual believer? You want to see what God's wisdom looks like in a church? It'll have a gentleness about it. It'll have this aspect of, you know, this idea of being considerate, not insisting on their own rights. Has the attitude of, when you're wronged, you don't retaliate. You make allowances. The man or woman with this quality makes allowances for the weaknesses and ignorance of others and takes the kindest perspective when possible. Can I get a witness? That's a good definition. Flesh that out in your mind for a minute. Flesh that out in your heart for a minute. We could preach an hour just on this one thought. That would revolution. I promise you, friend, that one characteristic would change churches all over this world. If we all had that type of attitude, if we all had that type of gentle spirit about us, the type of attitude that when we're wronged, we don't retaliate, we don't react, right? We take it in, we process it, we pray over it, we seek God's will, we seek God's wisdom in it. Because I got to think this week as I was thinking about this sermon, I was thinking about these characteristics, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's okay because you're going to track with me, I know you will. When I think about these characteristics, you know who comes to mind when I think of all these godly wisdom characteristics? You know who comes to my mind? Jesus. That's who comes to my mind. Jesus, he was pure. There was peace about him. He was a peaceful individual. He was a gentle person. You know, somebody that didn't, I mean, we fleshed that out perfectly. This word is fleshed out perfectly in Jesus. As a matter of fact, all these kind of characteristics are fleshed out perfectly in Jesus. He's the embodiment of gentleness. He's the embodiment of someone who didn't want his rights. He surrendered to the will of the Father. Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, let thy will be done. And God the Father's will was done because of the willingness of Jesus Christ to submit as the wonderful, gentle Savior that he was. Wow. Notice another statement here. How does godly wisdom conduct itself? Well, it's pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. And then notice this next phrase. Easy to be entreated. Easy to be entreated. You know what that means? It kind of goes a little bit along with gentleness. It carries with it the idea of willing to yield. Willing to yield. This attitude and this characteristic of willing to yield really, really lends itself of, doesn't always have to be right. You ever met people, and I've met them, my wife and I, we've counseled couples, marital couples, and neither one of them are willing to yield. They die on every hill, the proverbial die on every hill kind of attitude. If you're a person that longs and always has to be right, there's a problem there. It's not a matter of always being right. It's a matter of, hey, am I willing to yield? Now, I'm not talking about doctrinal issues. I'm not talking about, moral, biblical moral issues, abortion. I'm going to yield on abortion because I just want to have harmony. No, I'm not talking about that. We know that that's murder, and that's another sermon. But as far as in the context of maybe a preference, you do know this, that here at Emmanuel Missionary Baptist, we have a very eclectic group of people. You say, oh, that's a big word. What does that mean? Just all kinds of colors. I mean, not skin. I talk about skin. I'm just talking about all types of people. There are some, now we can even say it from a music standpoint. There are some that like this style of music. There are some that like this style of music. There are some that like that style of music, this style of music. And guess what, friend? That's okay. That's okay. We're different. We're different. And what makes us different is really, really a blessing. It's kind of the thought of unity through diversity. We're very diverse. But God brings unity in a body, and it's okay. We don't die on a preference. I'm not going to die on a preference. I have my preference. I like my steaks medium well. Andy Darty, who's not half human, I don't think, he likes them as rare as you can be. I promise you. He'll say, once Andy Darty will, I know for a fact, Andy Daugherty has eaten a 60-second hamburger. Process that for a minute. I don't think he's saved. I really don't think Brother Andy's saved. But you know what? I'm not going to die on that hill. I'm not going to eat it, but I'm not going to die on it. Right? There's preferences that, you know, we prefer. But having said that, there are oftentimes, though, that people are like, no, I want my preference. This is the way I want it. It's my preference. This is how we've got to do it because I've always done this. I've always liked this style. Listen, friend, if that's our attitude, and it isn't, let me just say this to you. It is not. I do not sense that. Never. I do not sense this. But I'm just illustrating a point because I know of churches where this is the spirit. If the spirit and the attitude is, it's my preference or die, you'll die. Chances are it's going to die. We got to be willing to bend. We got to be willing to yield. We got to be willing to have this peace about us, this willingness to submit, not always getting our rights, not always getting our ways, willing to yield for the sake of the body, willing to yield for the sake of unity. Prime example of that is in a business meeting. I'm grateful to God for Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, and one of the things I'm grateful for is our business meetings here. You say, how in the world does this go with this sermon? Here's how it goes with this sermon. Shortly, I won't mention the name, but it's been a while ago now. We had a business meeting. And in that business meeting, we approved thousands of dollars, I think, bill of expenditures and stuff, and things that you know we did, and things that were coming up, things that we had to pay money for, and it passed unanimously. And it took minutes to do that. After the service, one of our newer members come forward, and he said, Preacher, he goes, I'm going to tell you, he said, that's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life. I said, what are you talking about, brother? He goes, in a business meeting, a church, within minutes, and had 10 items on there, in the church, there was unity, there wasn't arguing and fussing and fighting. No, there will not be. There better not be if it's of God. Amen? Right? That unity. But here's what I know, though. Here's what I'm grateful to God for. There have been times, right? There have been times in business meetings, in deacon trustee meetings, there have been times when I got to be careful how I phrase this. There have been times when it hasn't been 100% agreement at first. But in discussion, then it becomes, you know what, fellas, if that's what we feel led of God to do, that's what we feel led of God to do, I'll support it, and we'll go forward from here. That's willing to yield. That is a characteristic of godly wisdom in a church. It's not a matter of me getting my will. It's not a matter of me getting my way. It's not. It's not a matter of the deacons, the trustees, the leaders, us getting our way. No, friend, I promise you, it's about following the leadership of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, seeking His wisdom and direction in our life. He goes on. So this willingness to yield, I'm going to yield. Boy, that's a great characteristic to have in marriage. I joke a lot about marriage, but I'm telling you, friend, if you're a type of I got to be careful. Yeah, I'm not going there. But if you're a type of a husband or a wife that has to control everything and has to, you know, that's not going to be good. That's not going to be good. You know, I don't always get my way. I mean, you say, yeah, Pastor, you're the head of your home. Yeah, but a head has to have a neck, right? Right? You know, a head has to have a neck. Willing to yield. Notice another one. This is a great one. Full of mercy. Full of mercy. Wow. Think about that for a minute. Godly wisdom, it'll manifest itself in mercy. Let me brag on our deacons again. They hate when I do this. Your deacons have come through a lot with this preacher over the years. We faced a lot of adversities. We faced a lot of challenges as far as a pastor, as deacons. We've dealt with things with staff, you know, that were very difficult. I'm talking about in the past, you know, immoral situations. We've dealt with, you know, as a staff and as a deacons and a pastor, we've dealt with things like that. And we had a situation in my office where there was some, for lack of a better phrase, got to be careful, but for lack of a better phrase, there was some dishonesty with someone that was in position. And I watched, as your pastor, y'all aren't in those meetings with me and the deacons, but I watched it as the pastor. I watched it unfold. And this just goes to show you a characteristic of mercy that really comes from God. And it has godly wisdom all over it when mercy is evidenced. So we had a situation where we had one of the men, and it was a big deal. And this man at the time was in position. Brought him to my office and talked to the deacons. And long story short, he eventually came clean. And it was awesome to watch our deacons. Every one of them looked at this man who at this point was now crying. And they looked at this man and they said, "Son, here's the deal. There's not a man in this room that has never made a mistake. We've all made mistakes. But when we own up, when we repent, when we forsake, right, we'll have mercy." And I watched them with a brother who was down, a brother who was hurt, a brother who was, did he mess up? Yes, he did. Did he make a poor choice? Understatement. But I watched our deacons demonstrate mercy on this man. And I watched them as they loved him and they encouraged him over a period of about a year or so and just poured into him. And as a church, y'all really didn't know a whole lot about that. But that's who you have as your deacons. That's who you have as far as a church. We sincerely seek God's direction. And as a church, we better seek God's wisdom. And I promise you this, before that was ever addressed in my office, we bombarded heaven for God's wisdom in that situation, because it was a situation. You say, "Preacher, what was all the situation?" It's not important now. I'm just telling you, it's under the blood, and it absolutely was saturated with mercy. So, "Preacher, I want to know what the issue was." Okay, let me ask you a question. Here's what we're going to do. No, I'm not going to do that, because I wouldn't want all of my bad choices on the screen. I wouldn't want, I know of some churches when people mess up and they come forward, man, they done this. It's almost like a 2018 picture of the woman at the, you know, the woman taking an adultery and the guys have the stones. "Hey, we're going to stone her to death." No. He who is without sin cast the first stone. We're not going to cast stones. We're not going to be a church of stone casters, right? We're going to be a church, by God's grace, full of mercy. Wow. Humanly speaking, let's just be real. It isn't always easy, is it? That's why we need God's wisdom. Because if we don't have God's wisdom, we will succumb to the worldly wisdom. We will succumb to having our own way, not willing to yield, not willing to budge. We will settle for law if left to ourselves, as opposed to grace if we seek God's wisdom in it. Wow. Of good and good fruits, he says. Good fruits. I mean, think about that for a minute. A church ought to be a church where a church ought to be full of, you know, fruits of the Spirit. A church ought to be saturated with good fruit. What a blessing. I mean, honestly, it amazes. I tell you, I've been blessed lately. I was sharing this story. It's remarkable to me to see how God answers prayer. Often answers prayer. Prayer that you can pray for someone for years. And we saw that happen recently. Prayed for someone for years here at Emmanuel, and God ends up saving the individual. We're going to be baptizing the individual here in just a couple of weeks. That was the situation. I got a text from one of our ladies, Miss Betty. Got a text from Betty Swartz after Sunday services. And Miss Betty, do you see she had a few, maybe a pew or two pews full of her family? She's been doing that for several years now, and she takes the annex, and she has a big family Easter Sunday meal and all that, and she invites all of her family to come. And some of the family, some of the extended family do not know Christ their Savior. And Miss Betty sent me a text. I got to read it to you. Teenagers are like, Pastor is reading his phone in church. Okay, I'll make a deal with you, teenagers. Here's the deal. I'll let you use your phone as long, only if you're preaching behind the pulpit. Sound like a deal? Some of them are like, nope, that's not a good deal. All right, here we go. Listen to this. She says, hi, Pastor, just wanted to tell you that was a great and powerful sermon yesterday. I really enjoyed it. I love the way you brought it down so simply that anyone could grasp and understand. Forget about that part. She says, My nephew's mother, listen to this. She said, my nephew's mother said she believed we go to heaven by being a good person. She said, your sermon, get this. She said, your sermon was the first time she heard that you must put your faith in Jesus and him alone. Wow. For the first time in her life, it's the first time she's ever heard that you must put your faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. You see, like, you say, Pastor, what's the significance of that? She goes, she ends, she says, I believe, God planted, I believe seeds were planted today and probably in the hearts of many. And he said, Pastor, what's the significance of that? The significance of that is that we have to stay at church that is full of mercy. We have to stay at church and that has, good fruit. And then there's evidence that there's fruits and there's evidence that God is really up to something and he's up to something great. And perhaps our greatest days lie ahead of us. Look at the last two things. I want to finish it. Without partiality. Wow. Carries with it the idea of no favoritism. Boy, I tell you what, you got to watch that. Got to watch that stuff. You got to watch that as a church. You got to watch that as individual believers. Too many, I'm telling you under God, I've seen it. Too many, some churches have the attitude, us four and no more. We're comfortable. We've done it this way. We've always done it that way. We're comfortable. We don't want to get out of our comfort zone. Let me give you a definition of often what that really is. You're not a church, you're a clique. It's not being a church, it's being a clique. And we got to be careful, friend. We got to be careful to avoid, four or five over here, and four or five over here getting in their holy huddles. And, we're not going to let anybody into our holy huddles. We're not going to invite you in here because you don't look like us. You don't talk like us. You don't dress like us. You don't this, you don't this. Listen, friend, we're all sinners saved by the grace of God. That's it. That's all we are. And there is no holy huddle. We are a church. We are a church that absolutely must be a church where everyone is welcome. Everybody's welcome. And it's not a matter of no, only certain few. No, it's we're a body. And I would be foolish to say to my body, I don't need you. For the last 10 days or so, my left ear has driven me crazy. It's like somebody took a cup and just cupped it over. I never, be honest with you, I never paid a whole lot of attention to my ears. You see, they're getting bigger. Just leave me alone. I never paid attention to my ear. Never paid attention much to my hearing until it was gone. And I tell you what, it'd be foolish for me to say, man, it's just an ear. Well, I'm using that illustration, maybe a silly one, to illustrate the importance of every member of a local church. Not just a few. Not just, it's not just us four. It's not just our group. No, it should be. We're a church. And if one member suffers, we all suffer. If one member rejoices, we all rejoice. He ends and he says, without partiality, that carries the idea of showing favoritism, you know, kind of a, you know, that kind of stuff, impartial, you know, that having, being partial, we shouldn't have that. And then he says, and without hypocrisy. It means sincere. It means it never play acts. I like this phrase, and I've used this phrase a lot. It's the attitude of what you see is what you get. That's it, man. What you see is what you get. Emmanuel Baptist, what you see is what you get. We're a hospital for hurting people. And it's, you know, you come to Emmanuel, you're liable to see things maybe that you never thought you'd see. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean in a good way. It's not uncommon, you know, to run into situations sometimes with, with, you know, folks that are troubled, to folks that have some mental issues. And I'm talking about me now, but folks that have, you know, differences. We've had a lot over the years, special needs situations in our church. We used to pick up a young boy by the name of Charlie. You remember Charlie, babe? We used to pick up a little boy by the name of Charlie. Remember him, Miss Rhonda? This is going back a few years. And Charlie was, he was autistic, and he was a great kid. And I don't know what happened. We're right in the middle of, I think it was Vacation Bible School, I think, Bill. Right in the middle of VBS, he got upset about something, and Matt Calcaterra kind of helped him, you know, to try to take him out of the service. And Charlie cussed from the first pew to the back pew, cussed all the way out the door. You say, preacher, what did you do? Smile and wave. Man, what are you going to do, right? He's just a kid. He did, you know, perhaps didn't know necessarily what he was doing, but you say, pastor, what's the point of it? I'm just telling you, that's who we are. You say, a bunch of cussing church members? No, that's not my point. I'm saying it's a point where everybody's welcome, and we'll love you here, and we'll help you to hopefully, prayerfully, grow into what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to grow into. Everyone's welcome. You're welcome on. You're welcome. Yeah, everybody's welcome. Without hypocrisy. And then he ends by talking about the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Are you a peacemaker? Boy, I hope so. That's an evidence. By the way, that right there, that's an evidence of being a church, being an individual who has God's wisdom in their life, is someone that always, you know, seeks to make peace. I don't like confrontation. I think anybody that does like confrontation, there's something wrong with them. Always wants to stir up something. No. You know, are you someone that wants to keep peace? Yeah, sure we are. We want to be that way. We want to be a church that keeps peace. And why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants that. The Lord Jesus Christ wants that. He wants a church to have a church that's unified, to have a church that, you know, doesn't show favoritism, and have a church where its members, you know, aren't partial, and its members aren't, you know, a membership has an attitude of mercy, you know, giving mercy when situations where, unfortunately, a lot of times mercy wouldn't have been given. Man, we'd have come down on the law. But you know what? I'm grateful to God that mercy. Mercy said no. Right? Mercy said no. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you slip away. You know, no, mercy says no. And that's my prayer. That's my heart to the youth group. Man, you want a great youth group? You honestly have a good youth group. College kids, you want a great college group? Make those things goals for your youth group, for your college group. Make those goals. Seeking God's wisdom. Lord, you know, let us as a youth group, let us as a college group, you know, have mercy and be, you know, without hypocrisy and impartiality. Lord, may we be gentle. I'm telling you, it's untold what God could do if we have that type of spirit, if we have that type of attitude. Let's all stand for a hymn of invitation. We trust that God has worked in your heart and moved in your heart tonight, that you'll respond. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar and just pray. Whatever God has laid on your heart to do, we give you an opportunity to respond. If you're here tonight or watching the internet and do not know Jesus as your Savior, sweet friend, tonight, would you not please repent of your sin? Believe that God, Jesus, was buried, rose again. He rose from the dead 3 days later. And if you'll repent and call upon him to be your Savior, he'll save you, he'll change your life. Maybe that's your desire. Maybe God's just touched your heart about something else, and you just need to come and pray. Stop, fellas. You just want to come and pray. Whatever it is, we give you an opportunity to do that. What's in our bud?